It is something that is done in us and for us by the working of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. And of course, you know, as I say today, if you were told today that you are aiming this direction, that you will be paralyzed someday, or that you will face severe physical affliction someday, or severe social setback someday, wouldn't you give your heart to the Lord today? Well, if you were told that you can avoid lots of crises ahead by just allowing the love of God to take control. And what does that mean? You give Him the preeminence over all of your decisions. Did you hear that? Don't make decisions and make plans and make provisions and go after them. And then when things doesn't go right or things begin to fall apart, you go to Him. We can avoid lots of crises when our love leads us to Him every day. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. But even when we hit bottom, if we turn unto the Lord with all of our heart and mind and soul, He promised forgiveness and He promised healing. It's never too late. Never too late. It's just how the outcomes of our life are going to be is by our own decisions today. Let us take it to the Lord in prayer. And then definitely, because we have made the choice and the decision to accept the love and mercy and grace of Jesus and His forgiveness and His lordship over our lives and our families, the church and all decisions, we become His own workmanship. And it is His own desire to make us ambassadors for Him everywhere we are and everywhere we go. Next slide, please. And throughout the process, our God is a God of blessings. He's a God of blessings. He wants to give us every blessing we will need on this sinful earth. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you like to receive gifts?
Well, I love it.
You know? And it's not your birthday, it's not Christmas, it is not any special occasion, and you suddenly get a gift at your home. Or you go to work and someone said, you know, in appreciation for who you are, we want to give this to you. Or you don't expect a promotion at all. And you go to work. And then your boss said, you know, I've been watching you all of this time. Something special about you. We want to give you a little higher responsibility to help the rest of the staff. And with the responsibility come rewards. Or perhaps you are a student that go to carry the love of God in your heart. Don't you know, trust me, I taught for 6 years in public school.
Oh my goodness.
I can tell clearly which kids are Christians and which are not.
Ooh.
It's amazing. It's amazing how they speak, how they dress, how they carry themselves, how they are standing strong and separate when all of the popular guys in class act silly. They hold themselves strong. They don't laugh at something that sounds like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what to smile at and what not to. By natural habits, they become leaders. They don't go with the flow. They stand up and stand apart as peculiar and different. It's very sad that many Christian kids they feel the need to wear jeans with holes in them. Because all the other guys and gals who are having those holes in them are getting the attention. We have received the greatest attention from the love of Christ. And if it thrives in us, we become leaders and not followers. And with leadership comes higher responsibilities of honor. And with higher responsibilities of honors come greater gifts and rewards. God give us all good gifts because He wants us to have it. And He wants to bless us. And He wants us to use it for the blessings of many people. We began to examine all of these gifts. First, we addressed 1 Corinthians 12, what gifts and how they work. And we addressed many of them and how they work. And there is not one gift that is greater than other. Therefore, the gift of preaching does not make me any more important than those of you who prepare the food every week. Those of you who take the time to express charitable hospitality, it's a gift of the Spirit. I would love to do that, but I don't have the time for it. So your gift to feed the body and to care for God's church and people is as important as the breaking of the bread of life through the gift of preaching. That's how it works. We all work together to make a whole body of Christ healthier. Okay? And then we address Ephesians 4 for what purpose? Until we all, it's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edification of the body of Christ. This means the change of our character after him. Until we all grow up unto him in all things Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of it. So we can all continue to grow in his own character. And then we begin to address the invitation in Romans 12. In which we'll continue today. And I want to prepare you because I'm not going to be able to cover all the gifts and all the admonitions of the Bible regarding this. The question is, do you want to receive the gifts of the Spirit? You know, if you have the gifts of the Spirit, everything else you lack and need in this world will be supplied to you. You see, the Bible, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Your grades in school will go up normally, even when you don't try too hard. As I said before, I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor, but I was a student once upon a time, and I had to work twice and three times harder because I came here as a foreign student. You know, many of the things I learned here, most of the things I learned here, I did not learn back home. And the mathematics, I was struggling with a little bit down there. We had five or six teachers in one year. And everyone came and confused us even the more. Okay? I came here, I had to learn everything and the signs opposite and everything else. And it is not I. And I'm confident to say that. I prayed every morning. I prayed before every test. I prayed before I study. And I knew that I am less than all of the other students because they can get it faster than me. That's their first language. And if I graduated with excellence, that reflects that the promises of God is true because I truly tried with all my heart to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now I graduated. What does A or summa cum laude really mean? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nothing. Doesn't make you anything different than who you are. So it's a blessing to focus on the most important. It is not the knowledge of the world that makes you wise unto salvation. It's actually not the knowledge of the world that helps you make good and sound decisions in relationships or good business decisions. It is the Spirit of God that leads us unto that. So let us examine the invitation again and to see if we really want it. And the Apostle Paul is addressing some very important issues regarding those gifts. I'm going to read quickly what we have examined last week, and I'm going to spend the rest of the time in the things that we did not examine. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, here it is. The apostle is begging us to receive the gifts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, all what God wants us is to come just as we are. As the Holy Spirit led Eric this morning, the disciples were very illiterate, right? They were very illiterate. And here it is, Jesus is telling them that I'm going to make you disciples and witnesses unto all the world. That requires lots of gifts. Knowledge, administration of knowledge, a heart of compassion, and strength in many areas of life, and wisdom to administer all things. They did not have it. They did not have it. All what they had to do is to drop their nets, believe him, and follow him just as they are. And it took them 3.5 years. To really get it, and they didn't fully get it until Jesus ascended unto heaven. And after the day of Pentecost, you began to see the power of the gifts of the Spirit magnified in their lives. And if we had time today, we'll examine it. So the Apostle Paul is saying, you just give yourself a living sacrifice, because when we are dead, we cannot praise God. Right? When we are dead, we cannot praise God. We don't want to be dead in sin. We want to be dead to sin. Okay? And that's the work of the Spirit of God in us. And we don't want to wait till the last breath of our life and give the Holy Spirit a chance. So while we're alive, it says, you present yourself as a reasonable service. You know, God is not going to ask us to do anything that we don't and we cannot do. You know, if you just went to work with the attitude of gratitude, the joy of the Lord will fill your heart. You are not going to be waiting for someone to come and give you the approval and the acceptance and tell you how wonderful you are. You already feel that. But you will go there to do that for others. That is where the glory is manifested in your life. When you go to your teacher, and when you tell the teacher how much you appreciate how they teach, you know, you exercise the gift of exhortation. How will the teacher think of you in comparison to everybody else? When you go to the workplace and tell your employees how much, your fellow co-workers, how much you appreciate what they are doing and the little help they give you every once in a while, or when you tell the employer how much you appreciate their support to you, what does that do for you? I'm not saying here try to buy someone else's approval. I'm saying allow the Holy Spirit to give you a natural power to manifest the glories of God in your life. It works. You will be honored without looking for honor. You will be loved, accepted, approved of. You will feel a sense of significance, not because you were seeking after it. It just happens. And you know, it's not going to add to anything that you have, because you're already there, satisfied through the love of Jesus. So that is the invitation that is given to us. God's children, young and old, males and females, boys, girls, adults, all of us can be so richly blessed to bless everyone around us if we yield ourselves unto the Lord and share our lives in all truth and love with others. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Be careful now here. Not because you have mastered something better than others, you think of yourself as something important. Pride comes before destruction. All of our service must be driven by the love of God, not the love of self. Because if you acted in a way to express the love of self before others, actually you are not going to be receiving honor. Your life will be quite troubled. You will always be dependent upon others to make you and break you. Okay? And you don't want that. You want to share every gift because you are full of the Spirit of God and you are so grateful to have such a gift to share it with other people. But not everyone is going to appreciate what you're doing. Some will, some won't. Look at Jesus himself. Okay, so again, put this mindset away. Don't think so highly of yourself so you will not enter into the snares of Satan. And verse 4, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, with a prophecy let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. Love should not be conditional or carries a form of hypocrisy. Okay? I will go to encourage you to use the gift of exhortation, because you don't know that, but sometime today or tomorrow, I plan to ask you for something in return. Okay? That is not the love of God. Okay? That is hypocritical love. Okay? Or to come and present myself to you that I am the guy who really know how to love in all the right ways. That's kind of horrible, isn't it?
So you mean to say if you came and you gave us $5 and you would have said, I've been hearing that you've been hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Here is $5 for you. Now, next day you come and ask for $10 back. Is that what you mean?
You know, I'm going to give you a real example about that. That's a good question that you asked, Sandra. I know people who have gone to help some seniors.
Well, I qualify.
Okay. You know, they went to the nursing homes as Christian groups, and they told them how much they want to adopt them as grandma and grandpa.
Really?
There's nothing wrong about that, actually. It can be the gift of the Spirit. That's mercy and love. And every once in a while, they will even bring Chinese food and other food to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
Is anything wrong about that?
Yes.
But the goal was to see if they have any properties they can leave for them.
Oh, my goodness.
You got that example?
Yes.
All right. That is love with dissimulation.
Yes.
Hypocritical love.
Yes.
Conditional love. And deceptive love. And you know, all of us can fall into these cracks if we are not careful.
Right.
I love because I am loved. I give because I was given. Not because I want more. And the secret of receiving more is giving everything that we have cheerfully. Cheerfully. So when I look at all of your gifts, I praise God for it, because it's really enriching my life and blessing me. I have received it. Therefore, I must give thanks. And I must encourage it, because I know there are so many people in this world who need it. Not because I want anything in return. But I also live with this very full conviction. If I lacked anything today or tomorrow, God will always provide. Either directly, or through the means of the church, or through means of strangers I never knew before. He has always come through. So when we love one another, and when we love others in the class, that some of them are very unlovable, and when we try to love those who are obscene at work and love those who are really harming others, we can still love them. We don't have to participate in their activities, but we can still love them enough to pray for them. And if they ask for some help, and we can help, we can still express love to them even though they're very unlovable. Because that may be your test to save your life. Did you hear what I say?
Yes.
That saved my life. When I lived up on the hill, I'm sure some of you heard that story before. I used to take the bus early morning at 5:15 to go to school, to go to work and then school. And there were these three guys that were always troublemakers, always trying to drag me into fights, always trying to put me down, talking nasty about my background, making fun of me and the bus and laughing and making other people laugh. And I took it. I took it not because I think it was wonderful or it felt good. I took it because I realized if I engage in any same conversation, I'm going to be beaten up. Okay? And that's wisdom. Wise is he who sees evil and retreat. Why trying to talk back when you know what the devil is trying to do? Okay? So if you ask me, did I really love them at that time? No. Did I feel there's something wrong with them?
Yes.
Yes. Did I want them harmed or hurt in any way?
No.
No. Did I want them to stop and change?
Yes.
Yes. And so, about 3 weeks later, I was with Nagy, whom you met.
Yes.
Come here. Was a clinical psychologist now. And the car broke down at 11 midnight down the hill.
Oh, no.
And we had to walk up Kelly Hill in Hayward. No light. Very difficult. It's midnight, very scary. And, you know, he was limping and he was holding my hand, so I was pulling along, both of us.
So was he hurt?
He was not hurt. No, I just, he was tired.
Did he live up there?
We both lived up there.
Oh.
We both lived up there. And when we walked up in the middle of the hill, here comes five guys with covered black masks and baseball bats coming toward us. I tell you, that was a very frightening scene. I was praying at this time, and I was serving in church, and I was trying to do the best I can to be a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I was still a sinner and imperfect. And I saw that, and yes, my first thought is to flee.
I know.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Except I had another brother next to me who was grabbing my big finger, knowing I was thinking that way, and because he does not have the speed, he decided that if we went down, we're going to go down together.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so he took that knowing I was going to run. And for some reason, the Lord allowed it. And he held my hand so strong, so I couldn't run down the hill. I couldn't go anywhere. And they were coming very fast, and they surrounded us. Okay, that's midnight. Very frightening experience. And one of them said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going up to my house." "What are you doing in this area?" I said, "We live here." And then from my side, one of them asked me the question, "Are you the Egyptian guy who lives up the hill here on Kill Hill?" I said, "Yes, sir." You know, when he asked that question, what went through my mind? Did I hurt anybody? Did I cause harm to anybody?
No.
And I said, "Yes." And then here it is, one of the guys came and put the baseball bat on my shoulder, right on my neck here, from behind me.
Oh.
And at that time, so many things were going through my head. Lord, are you there? Lord, are you there? And then suddenly, that same guy who asked me if I was the Egyptian guy living up on Kelly Hill, on Valley View, put his arms around me and put the baseball bats away. I said, "Leave him. He is my homie."
What?
Now, again, my homie? I don't know anyone up there who is my homie. You know? And I was scared to death. And he said, "Leave him. Give him away." And I tell you, my legs were going like that. You know, I was wobbly, climbing the rest of the hill. And I was just thinking, by the time when I reach that top of the hill, I'm going to grab my hand out of his hand, and I'm going to split. And he knew that. And he was also wobbling. And he held my hand so strong. I said, "You are not going to run anywhere. We're going to go home together." And we made it up the hill, and both of us split and went home safely. The next morning, all night long, he's asking me, "Do you know them?" I said, "No. We were saved by a miracle. I don't know these guys at all. You know, homie, I don't know anyone in this here. It's the only home I live. I go to school, work. That's my life." So we felt all night long that God sent his angels to spare our lives. I thought they may rob us. I thought they may hurt us. They may kill us. Everything was possible. And in the morning, when I went to ride the bus, I went in, and the other people that always ride with us rode with us. And those guys who always bugged me, two of them, not the three, just two of them were there. And they rode the bus. And behind me, he used his own language to say, "Hey, bud, we scared, you know what, out of you yesterday, didn't we?"
Uh-huh.
And I looked, and I said, "Yes, you surely did." And I was still scared of them.
He
said, "You surely did." He said, "You know, you have blessed me," and he used that word. I said, "I did."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Yes, remember a month ago, when I came to ride the bus and I needed 25 cents because I didn't have enough money for the ticket. And he did. And he stood in front of the bus, asking all the passengers, anyone can spare 25 cents? And Daniel, the bus driver, do not like these guys. He looked back and said, no one should give him anything. If you don't have enough money for the fare, get off. Remember, these guys were humiliating me every day and threatening me every day. When he said this, I did have more than a quarter in my pocket. I just don't know why. You know, when the love of God is in your heart, the love of God is in your heart. Doesn't matter how people treated you. And my mom always told me that. She reminded me of the words of Paul in that very chapter. Don't reward evil with evil. Reward evil with good. For by doing so, you bring a coal of fire on their head. And God is able to change a heart. He said, when I called and no one else helped me, you came from the back of the bus, man, and you gave me this 25 cents. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Love without hypocrisy can save your life.
That's true.
You know, at that very moment, my life was very cheap. It was worth 25 cents. And the life also, my dear brother, Nagy. So it is very important to understand how God gives us gifts. Love is a gift of the Spirit. Okay? And if God gives you money, it's a gift of the Spirit. If you use it wisely to express the love of God to the unlovable, it may be the test that God has put you through to save you from great crises ahead.
It's just what your mother said, don't reward evil with evil.
Exactly.
Reward evil with good.
And that's what Paul is saying here in the church. We ought to love one another unconditionally and without any hypocrisy. And if we have any hardness in our heart, this is not a problem I have with anybody here. This is a problem I have in my heart. Right? Mm-hmm. I go to Jesus every day and ask for that cleansing power and the rehabilitation and transformation of my heart. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do. If we have that kind of love in our heart, love without hypocrisy, we're going to do so well in this world. We're going to have much less enemies and much more friends. Even our enemies, the Bible say, will be our footstool. Not because we want to step on them. They will come and recognize that our God is the true God. You know, after that experience, I ran into these guys down the road, bar station, here and there. And they would shake my hand and give me one of those hugs. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing how God can change all things in our behalf when we exercise the gifts of the Spirit. It is for our own life. Did you see that? God give us those gifts for our own sake, the sake of our families, the church, and those in the world, just like these guys, who need to experience the unconditional love of Jesus in a transforming way. And I learned later from that gentleman that his mom took him to church and Sunday schools all of his life until he rebelled at the age of 14 because his father left the house. And how that little love that I exhibited, he asked me the question, why did you do that, man? When we were doing that, I said, you know, that's what my mom taught me. He said, are you a Christian? I said, I'm still trying to be. You know, that little testimony did not just save my life, but very much rejuvenated and revived the seeds of God's love in his heart that his mother placed in it. You know that? So that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is teaching us to do. And verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. You know, we always, even in our home when we were kids, always competed with our siblings. Always want to be number one, huh? And sadly enough, we went to school and this theory of self-exaltation and I am number one has been reinforced. Everyone wants to be first in line, right? Everyone to want to be very much approved of by the teacher or become a leader or become the head of a team or be part of the big groups, want to be popular. And we grow with this idea to alienate ourselves from the commonwealth of Israel and also alienate ourselves from others. And what really happens, we create in ourselves a very low self-esteem. We no longer know who we are. But when we come to Jesus, he takes all of this away, because really we become that way because we feel threatened, right? We feel threatened. We have fears. If we are not number one, we're going to lose on all of the things. And we're going to get hurt in the process. Here, Bible is saying, really, if you want to move all of the threats away, and if you want to feel good about yourself, get out of the way of yourself and go and prefer others over yourself. It is so true. It is so true. You know, when you go to 5 and 10 people and tell them in truth, without hypocrisy, how much you appreciate God's gift in them, what will you hear back? How will people think of you? You prefer them over yourself without any hypocrisy. And when you do it so sincerely, people will think of you exactly the same. As a matter of fact, your own stature will increase in their eyes. You are not threatened by anyone's gift. Because who gives a gift?
God.
I don't give gifts. You don't give gifts. You share the gifts you have, but you don't give it. And if God gives gifts, God alone can take away and God alone can increase. And one of the methods that we can increase our gift is to use it in love toward one another, our families, and to encourage the utilization of the gift of the Spirit. And that would lead you into quite a solid self-esteem, not made by man, not made by others or things, very much made by the Holy Spirit in you. It's going to lead you into a life of prosperity as it is designed to be, in love and in honor, preferring one another. Today, when I was a kid, I liked the idea when they were choosing me in school or in church to be a leader, or in the orphanage as well. You know, they always chose me in the orphanage to lead the pack and to make sure all the kids go to school on time. And when they come home, I was in charge. They're under the big supervisor there. Make sure that I give everyone his chores and make sure everyone does his chore. And I report to the manager. It made me feel very good. As you grow in Jesus, you don't desire those things anymore. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I behaved as a child, but when I became a man, I have forsaken childish things. Today, to seek any post of responsibility, you better be ready for the heavy duty that it entails. I shy away. You know, when people ask me to come and help and send places where I feel the responsibility is heavy, my first answer is resistance. I said, let me take some time to pray about that. Because now I see the responsibility, not the glamour. Is God calling me to be there? Or is it man? And that is a powerful way to think of life. And then if God has given you responsibility and any gift, listen to what Paul said. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is a tool that Satan have used to steal so many gifts from so many Christians. Heard a sermon years ago about, are you a lazy Christian? Can we become lazy Christians?
Yeah.
All the time. Every day. And what's a lazy Christian?
Don't read the Bible.
Lazy Christians.
Don't pray hardly. Don't go to church.
Does not want to grow up. Always ready to count on other people to do what he or she ought to do and to live off them. Do you want to be that kind of a person?
No.
As I said from the beginning, we don't have to be slothful in God's business. Just expressing the love of God everywhere we go, at school, and so many different ways, at work. You don't have to be a preacher and go to nursing homes like me several times a week in order to be actively serving the Lord. You can serve the Lord everywhere he placed you. My gift is different from your gift. Your calling is different from my calling. The place of your own service and the boundaries thereof are different from mine. But there is no need to become lazy, because what happens? In the parable of the talents, if you become lazy and don't use that one gift, it's taken away from you. If you don't want the gift of love, then it will be taken away from you. If you don't want the gift of hospitality, and everything you have is just yours,
music,
if you don't invest time in playing music for the glory of God and for blessing humanity, you lose it. Gift of teaching, gift of being. If you don't invest in it and yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in you, you lose it. You know, when I went to Egypt, if I did not preach in the church down there, I felt when I came back, I'm rusted. I felt I'm rusted. That the power of preaching has subsided because I skipped several Saturdays from preaching the gospel. It's not that God has taken it away from me. If you don't use it, you lose it. Okay? It's very important. If you left your car in the garage for several weeks, what's going to happen to the battery? Right, there is no recharging. You know, the alternator, when you drive every day, recharges your battery. Okay? So if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's exactly the warning. If we become lazy about using every precious gift God has given us, we'll end up losing it. And you should know it, because you will begin to feel weaker and weaker. And when you begin to feel weaker, it begins in your heart. You begin to feel anguish, emptiness. Something is missing. You know, and little signs of depression. And then you end up, I better do more of the world and less of the Lord. That is the tool that Satan have used so successfully to discourage many Christians and to steal away the gifts of God's rich blessings and the spiritual gift from them. So we have to guard against that. And again, what a wonderful place. If you love where you go to school, if you love where you go to work, and if you love your neighbors, listen, you have an open fields of ministry. Just be different. Let your love toward everybody else be wise and different. And God will bless you for everything that you're doing. And what's going to happen? If you use it, it doubles. It's true. If you use it, it doubles. And other people say, God is not fair. How did he give this guy one and then took it away from him? And how did he give this guy two and then give him two more? And this guy five and give him five more? And he even took the one from that guy who didn't use it and gave it to the guy who already have 10. Why does God work that way? It's in the same way wise parents write their will. If they have children who are using every penny and the money on themselves and on drugs and on alcohol and on prostitutes and on everything else, would they trust their property to them? You know, I was called by an attorney to be a witness in a will where the father decided not to give his children anything. And he gave me the reason why. I don't know the man. I was just invited into the lawyer's office to be a witness.
Did he give them the dollars so they can't protest?
No. He gave it to somebody else who really cared about him. Said, my kids, I went to the hospital many times. I went here and there for many years. They only called me and said, Dad, I need some help.
Oh, wow.
Never cared about their father, but cared about what he possessed. And said, they even dare and tell me, Dad, make sure you place me on your will, because I really have all of these problems and I'd like to take care of them. But not in one occasion that they expressed their love or really took the time to come and spend time with me. So he wrote the will to somebody else who is a close friend of his. You know, God works that way. If the gift will be used by Satan to harm you, why would he add to it? Did you see the wisdom there? Why would he add to it? But if the gift is used so wisely by the Holy Spirit to bless your life and others, it can only increase gradually. And what a blessed God that we serve, because his love for us is infinite. And we'll see that next week in the life of the disciples in the book of Acts. So he said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If you want to develop a gift, you better use it every day. You know, I don't want to lose the gift of teaching or preaching, because it is helping me tremendously. So every morning I have devotion, I learn from other servants of God. I learn from the Bible again and again, and from devotional books that were given to me and that I bought, about how God has used the gift of knowledge through others to really enlighten me and to add to my knowledge. See, it's increasing. To add to my knowledge. So when I'm in a position of teaching again, I share, not from my knowledge, but from the knowledge of God that he has given to many people unto me. And the same in preaching. You know, Esther said something this morning that stuck in my mind. And she read it from a devotion she had this week, that God is able to turn a mess into a message, and a test into a testimony, and a trial to a triumph, and a victim to a victor.
Wow.
It stuck in my mind. And I thank God that he gave me the brain to retain this information, to use it to God's people. If we are lazy to mature our gifts, we will lose it. If we are actively seeking to use it for God's glory and honor, it can only increase. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It's amazing. Verse 11 told us the problem. Verse 12 told us the answer. How to overcome laziness? You must spend time acknowledging to the Lord that you're lazy. It's tribulation. Okay? This is a tribulation. This means Satan desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's what Jesus taught Peter. If you are one of those who just wait till you go to church to hear a message, or wait at church on Saturday to present your music, your songs and everything else, you're perhaps losing on something important. One thing I love about Cole, he said, you know, he feels that he is going to lose. He practiced a lot and practiced hard all the time. It is better to be that way than to do nothing. Okay? If you always want to improve on what you have, for all the right reason, I pray, God will bless you. And will use your gift to the blessings of great many. It will become powerful. Powerful beyond your own imagination. I think, even though I did not talk to him, I think that Cole was surprised to hear the comments of Mimi yesterday and to see her in tears. He never expected to recognize the power of the music he's playing can really move and strike in the heart of those who are hurting and bring about comfort and revival. I heard every word she said. I did not expect to see him yesterday. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in him. He humbled himself and moved. He never expected that he will be blessed and God will use the blessing to touch somebody else. So when we feel struggling with laziness, the Bible said, be constant in prayer. Okay? Listen. No one can do that for you. No one can do that for you. You can pray for me every day. If I don't want to get out of this dangerous comfort zone, even Jesus will not force his blessing upon me. So we need to see it, to say it, to surrender it, substitute it daily. Be constant in prayer. He said, rejoicing in hope. You have the hope that God will deliver you, will empower you, will give you the victory, so you will not be a victim, but a victor. Keep praying for that, and you will receive it. Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, when we think of hospitality, we only think of money and food. which is really part of hospitality. But hospitality comes in so many ways. Giving of our many talents to those who need it most. Giving of our time, our precious time. To write an email to encourage somebody. To send a text. To let somebody that you are praying for them and you wish them so well. It's amazing. It's amazing. Or to call grandma and grandpa far and near. I've been thinking about you today. You know, I miss you. And I'm praying that God bless you. You will be so surprised what you're going to hear on the other side. Give, Jesus said, and it shall be given unto you. Great measures, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. You know, in counseling, I have met families who are quite sick. The father wants the children to communicate with the grandparents. The mother refused because she is hurt. Then the grandparents never done what she wants them to do for her. And she is clinging this self-inflicted pain all of these years and does not want to let go. And you know, the kids are 17 and 18 and they are unable to make their own decision. They're unable to say, Mom, you may have a problem with grandma and grandpa. All of these years when you had a problem, they think of us on our birthday and send us cards and gifts. On Christmas Day, they think of us and send us this, and we never answered back to say thank you. Those kids, even though adults, are unable to speak the truth in love. You know, something is being stolen from them, and they're going to live to experience the pain of that in time. And then you think of the grandparents who have been suffering all of these years, want to hear from their grandchildren. I tell you, we have a great responsibility toward ourselves, toward one another, toward God's church, and toward many others, distributing to the necessities the saints given to hospitality. Give of your time. If you are able to read, give of your time. Able to write, give of your time. Able to exhort, give of your time and your words. Able to love, so love unconditionally. Able to sing, so sing praises to the Lord and bless the hearts of those who are hurting. Able to encourage others in sorrow and comfort them. Please do so. Many people are really living a life of reaction and pain because of loss of loved ones that they never have recovered from. It's amazing how much we can bless humanity by exercising the gift of the Spirit. And verse 15 tell us all, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. I was asked, does a Christian always should be able to weep with those who weep? No, it may not be your gift. It may not be your personality. Okay? And it may not be your state of life either. I have some people who love to do something for those who are suffering and grieving the loss of loved ones, but they cannot tolerate sitting in a funeral, seeing everybody else weeping and crying, and they can do nothing about it. It hurts them so much. But they can exercise the gift of hospitality, and we encourage them to do that. So when people grieve, they don't have time to go and eat or cook or take care of laundry or do things like that. If you can do it for them, it is such a great gift. It's easy for us always to rejoice with those who rejoice, right? When there's a party, everyone is ready to go there, right? We're ready to go and rejoice with those who rejoice. Wedding? Yeah. Anniversaries? Yeah. You know, a free dinner somewhere? Of course. I like to do that when I'm able. When I'm able. I love to rejoice with those who rejoice. And I'm not going to tell you that I love to weep with those who weep. It's always heavy on my heart. But I'm very grateful for every opportunity God gives me to comfort those who are weeping over the loss of loved ones. And you know, so many people are dying in the world today because of wars. In Egypt, in Syria, in Africa because of hunger. In South America, And I've seen documentaries about all of these kids who are skin and bones dying every day. My love for them. I cannot weep with those mothers who are weeping the loss of their loved ones, watching their own children dying slowly before them. But I have enough love in my heart to spend time on my knees to pray for their provision, for their healing, for their protection, for their transformation and salvation. Do you? This is the way to weep with those who weep. Live beyond yourself, and you will live the abundant life. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I'm going to stop here, because the rest is taking us a different direction. And if you want to follow with me, next week I'm going to finish verse 16 all the way down. And I will also cover part of Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Today, I would like to encourage us through the instruction of the Holy Spirit that daily, if we are wise, and if we want it to be well with us and our families, the church and the world, if we truly want to prosper, let us daily have the most important time to pray and surrender our heart and mind and soul and every gift to the control of the Holy Spirit. It may be the opportunity to save us from ourselves and from great calamities that Satan is lying before us. Secondly, we need to pray every day from our heart and mind and soul that the Holy Spirit dwell in us. Because every day, some of the people you meet is not by accident. The Holy Spirit placed them in your way to help you see who you are and to help you see who they are. What you have and what they don't. And what you can do to help them along the path. We are all here today because somebody else prayed for us. And we have responded to that call. Somebody else showed kindness and rejoiced with us and wept with us. And that is our mission. And during this time, when the Lord said He will prosper us, it is through this. Through how we communicate with all humanity. Through the precious gifts of the Spirit given to us by the Lord Jesus. So let us pray for that. And I earnestly encourage you along with me to pray morning, noon, and night that Jesus save us from the spirit of laziness. It is so destructive to every gift in us. And I tell you, so destructive that we don't just lose it. If you look at the stories in the Bible, after we lose it, that evil spirit take us over and began to use us for the destruction of others who are serving the Lord. So let us pray for that every day. And may God protect us from every evil snare within and without. And may we experience the power of His love working in us, for us, and through us unto all. And may every gift and blessing given us be blessed not just on earth, but to lead us all throughout eternity. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Holy Spirit, living God, our hearts, our mind, our bodies, our souls, our love, our will, our lives, and our purpose on this earth is fully Thine own. May You dwell in us. Never leave us nor forsake us. Fight our every battle. And may Your strength and power daily be made perfect in our every human weakness. And even in our limitations. Lord, we pray that Your Holy Spirit make us only heavenly blessings on this earth to everyone that You send our way. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.